Hello and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. My name's Doug Arnold and I'm a member of the Hospitality Ministries team. It's a joy to have you worship with us today, and we do invite you to fully participate. You'll find links to worship materials in the description section of our live feed, and as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship today, we also invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Good morning, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. You'll notice that I am not Carol, but Carol is this morning worshiping with Gordon United Methodist Church, just miles from here. If you'll remember that the Reverend Dr. Paula Smith worshiped with us on November the 22nd, and so they did a bit of a pulpit switch this fall and winter. I have a few announcements for you this morning. If you'll turn your attention to the attendance link where you can record your attendance with us, we would love to know who's worshiping with us today. Also, there is a virtual missions market. Our Advent market is virtual this year, so check out the page and support our vendors so that you can support these local social enterprises. We have three announcements for next Sunday, December the 20th. Many ways to celebrate and be in the Advent spirit this year. First, for the kids and families, we will have a celebration for Jesus' birthday this year. We'll be providing kits with supplies for you to get started to have a birthday party for Jesus at home. And so you'll come and you'll drive through the parking lot sometime between 3 and 4 p.m. You can dress festively. And if you will bring a birthday gift for in honor of baby Jesus of diapers, we'll be collecting those for the Nashville Diaper Collection. Also, later that evening at 4 p.m., December the 20th, there will be a one-man show of A Christmas Carol performed by Mark Cabus, and it'll be in the Fourth Story Theater but live streamed on our Facebook and live stream. Later that evening, we will have a longest night service. This is a service that allows for those who are going through difficult circumstances, most of us this time of year, that need an extra measure of comfort. This will be a time of healing and prayer and scripture at 6:30 p.m. It will also be live streamed on Facebook and our live stream. And throughout this week, you'll have an opportunity to come and spend some time with our Advent prayer stations on Wednesday from 11 to 1 and later that evening from 5:30 to 7. So you will be able to come to the church in person with masks on and experiencing those prayer stations as a way to have a new Advent tradition this year. We have gathered here to celebrate the joy of the Lord today.
Lift up your hearts. God has done great things for us. Hope is on the horizon.
We light this third candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of the joy of Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of our Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all of the nations.
Makes all things new. God can turn our weeping into laughter, our sorrow into joy, and let us come now with our sins, trusting that God will hear us and forgive us and show us a new way. God, who has done great things for us, this has been a tough year. We are tired and overwhelmed. We are struggling and grieving. We are lonely and fearful. We are having a hard time finding joy, even as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. We confess our many emotions to you, O God. Hold them and hold us in your loving embrace. We confess our many sins to you, O Redeemer. Forgive us for the harm we have caused with our words and actions, and with our silence and apathy. You call us to rejoicing. Help us to have a mindset of joy, that we might be filled with your light and love, no matter our situation. May our joy overflow because of you. Amen. Hear this good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
May the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Nick and Kendall Dykman bring their son to God before the community of faith for baptism.
Family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Nick and Kendall, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? Congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care?
With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in service with others. We will pray for him to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. And after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. And in the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in his baptism of death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and the child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout all his life, that dying and being raised in Christ, he may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given this child?
Duke Hawthorne.
Duke Hawthorne. I baptize you in the name of the Father and our Creator, the Son and our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer. Amen. And if you place your hand on Duke as well. Duke Hawthorne, the Holy Spirit work within you, that having been born of water and the Spirit, that you may grow to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Will the congregation please stand and face Duke Hawthorne? Now it is our joy to welcome our new sibling in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Duke Hawthorne to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Duke Hawthorne, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The lesson is from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us," and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The word of God for the people of God.
Children will gather a little bit closer to the screen for children's time. I'd love to share a moment of joy with you today. And because today is the Sunday of joy, we lit the pink Advent candle. You'll see I have one on my stole, and we can light that one this Sunday. And it's a candle of joy. And so usually kids really know how to share their joy. I don't know how you like to share joy. Maybe you like to run around, or maybe you like to laugh, or maybe you like to sing songs. But one of the ways I like to share my joy, especially if I'm feeling bored or disappointed, maybe that something didn't go the way I wanted it to, or maybe I'm feeling a little ho-hum about something, one of the ways I like to share joy is by having a dance break. And so what I'll do is I'll find a song on my phone, and it can't be just any song. It has to be a song I really love, maybe one from a movie that I like, or one that just has a good beat, and I'll put that song on and I'll turn it up. Not so much that you annoy your neighbors or your parents, but I'll turn up the volume just so I can get going. And then I'll dance however I want to. You can flail your arms. There's just, you don't have to have any specific dance moves. You just dance. And that brings me so much joy. Another great thing to do is to find friends. So maybe your siblings, or maybe you even get your parents involved. Sometimes when I'm at church and I want to have a dance break, I walk down the hall to someone's office, like Katie's or Stacy's or Emily's. Emily actually has a very embarrassing video that hopefully she'll never post on social media of a dance party that we did. But it's just so much fun to get your body moving and to have joy, especially when you're feeling, you know, ho-hum. Today in my sermon, I'm going to talk a little bit more about how we cultivate joy in times of disappointment or times of struggle, and how we can have a mindset of joy, especially this time of year when we're waiting for the joy of Christ to come into the world. If you'll pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we're so thankful for the joy that you bring to our lives. The ways that you weave your love and presence in each moment so that we might be awake and aware to your love and joy. Thank you so much for the joy of the coming of Christmas, not just in the gifts, but also in your love and light that enters this world and makes all things new. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thanks. One of the stories of Christmas that has captured my imagination since I was a kid is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And this story has always been an interesting one to me because of the transformation that Scrooge goes through. Next week, you'll have an opportunity to hear the story in full from a one-man show, but I'm going to give you a brief synopsis just in case it's not fresh on your memory. There's a main character, Scrooge, who is a miser, and he's very selfish, and he's visited by three ghosts. The ghost of Christmas past takes him to see past moments of Christmas of both joy and regret and disappointment. The ghost of Christmas present takes him all around London and shows him the need of people around him. Shows him, opens his eyes to people in need of compassion and resources. And the ghost of Christmas future is the Grim Reaper, who shows him his impending doom if he doesn't change. I think this mindset of past, present, and future can help us understand a little bit more today about joy, because I think that's what the psalm has done for us today as well. It begins in the past tense, about past moments of joy, moves us through the present moment where the psalm is being written into the future. The future promises of joy of the Lord. And so today, on this Advent day of joy, every third Sunday of Advent, we celebrate joy. And this year, more than ever, I think we're needing that spirit of joy to come alive. And so I'm going to go through and talk about these different mindsets and how they might help us cultivate joy. The psalm begins with, "When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed, and our mouths were filled with laughter and shouts of joy." The people were in a static, dreamlike state where they were able to experience this great joy because God had brought them back from exile. See, the people of Israel have known their share of being scattered throughout the lands. They've been in Babylon, by the rivers of Babylon, where they wept. They were in Assyria for a while. They were slaves in Egypt. And we remember how God brought them in each time back to the land in which he promised. And it wasn't just about the land. It was about an identity as the people of God. God reminded them who they are. They are people of God. See, I believe that this spiritual remembering, this spiritual knowledge of who we are, can truly help us understand how to cultivate joy, because we remember how loved we are by God and who we are and where we belong, that God has been faithful to us. Advent is a perfect time for this. We set out our nativity where we have Mary and Joseph. We can journey with them to Bethlehem, remembering how God provided and protected them. I feel like people have written so many narratives of the different characters of Christmas and how God was faithful. But even in the ornaments that we hang on our tree, we look at them and we have a story of a past person or place that meant something to us, and we can remember with joy and gratitude. And that can move us into the present moment, even when we're feeling that this Christmas will be so different this year. In order to prepare for this sermon, I opened a book that I've been meaning to read, and it's been on my shelf for a while. It's called The Book of Joy, and it's a conversation between the Dalai Lama and the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. And it's really about their friendship and about their conversations about joy. And throughout this book, I feel like there is a brushstroke of understanding that we can cultivate joy in the present moment by reaching out in compassion and empathy to others. You see, I think Charles Dickens has it exactly right. The ghost of Christmas present is a ghost, a spirit that allows for us to see the needs of those around us and allows for us to act in compassion towards them. The Dalai Lama tells this story about how he was leading a meditation of hundreds of people, and all of a sudden he had a pain in his abdomen and in his stomach. And he knows that he needs to go to the hospital. And so they rush him to the hospital, which is about 2 hours away. And they weave him through streets of impoverished areas. And he can see children who are without shoes. And he imagines that they also don't have the health care and education resources that they need. But as they're approaching into the city where the hospital is, he sees a man lying under a hut. And he's lying on the ground. His hair is disheveled, his clothes are dirty, and he is, you can tell that he's very sick and on his deathbed. And the Dalai Lama notices that there isn't anyone around him to take care of him. And the Dalai Lama is moved with so much compassion and empathy for this man's situation that he notices that his own pain subsides greatly. He goes on to talk about how there is a wise selfishness. A wise selfishness takes care of your mental and your physical and your spiritual and your relational health so that you can survive. A foolish selfishness is the one that's constantly just thinking about yourself, constantly possibly exploiting people or bullying others. It's this wise selfishness that allows for us to survive and to open our eyes to the needs of those around us. Because each of us has a capacity for pain and suffering. And it's not very big. But when we're able to open our eyes to the needs of those around us, our capacity for holding pain and suffering can greatly increase. And so it's not that the compassion just sweeps over the pain of the present moment. It's that the compassion allows us to have space to increase our understanding of the connection between ourselves and one another and with God. And that allows for the joy to seep in and for the community to hold the pain and suffering together. And we know, just like my grandmother used to always say, that this too shall pass, that we might move into a future. We can hope for this future of the ghost of Christmas present. Now, unlike Charles Dickens' Grim Reaper, the psalm paints a very different picture of the future. The psalm talks about the restoration being like the waters of the Negev. The Negev is an arid desert region in southern Israel that's bordered by the Dead Sea. And it's a desert area. It's arid. I mean, it's very dry. And 11 months out of the year, it's completely no rain whatsoever. And so the soil just compacts on itself. And whenever you don't receive any water, unlike the land of Tennessee, that it just kind of soaks up in there when it rains, when the sand has been compacted, the water has nowhere to go. And so it's like when the rain finally comes, the water rushes over it like a flash flood. The metaphor here in the psalm is that the joy of the Lord will be like a flash flood in our lives, that the dry 11 months will end in this incredible joy, and that every seed that was planted in tears would be reaped in a harvest of joy. This isn't a you reap what you sow moment. This is every seed that was planted in tears will be reaped in joy. This isn't the only metaphor or story of what the kingdom of God looks like. My favorite is when Jesus talks about a feast. And the feast is where everyone has enough and all belong, and those who were absent are present. It's this incredible feast. What are your visions of the hope of the future and the joy of the Lord as children of God? And we know that joy isn't in silos in our daily life. It doesn't happen just in the past or the present. It happens all at once as we cultivate joy with these different mindsets. We know that through a moment that just happened, through Duke Dietman's baptism. The past was remembered through the prayer that Brandon prayed over the water. When nothing existed but chaos, God swept across dark waters and brought forth light. God has been in the business of creating order in chaos and light in the darkness since the beginning of time. And then you have that moment where the water in the present moment electrifies the child's head, and the Holy Spirit, she seems to reach out with an invisible touch, yeah? Where the promise of God is on the child. New birth, new spirit, new water, new life. And this moment reminds us of who we are and the hope of the future where we all promise. Nick and Kendall made that promise to raise this child. We made that promise to raise this child in a church and create space not only for discipleship, but to hold that pain and suffering in community. And so this Christmas, I pray that you are visited by the ghost of Christmas past, that you're able to remember who you are as a child of God, and you're visited by the ghost of Christmas present, where you're able to see those in need of compassion and empathy around you, and you're visited by this hope, this knowledge, these memory, these imaginations of what is to come, so that we can all in the future stand side by side, holding our candles lit together, singing, and knowing that the light of Christ is in us, so that we might be that light of Christ connecting and transforming for this world. May it be so. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to rise however you are able and join with me in the affirmation of faith found in the United Methodist Hymnal on page 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. It is with joy that we announce the birth of Ruth Ellen von Lunen, who was born on December 3rd to Carolyn and Matt von Lunen. She is also welcomed by a large extended West End family, including Laura and Rob Riley, grandparents, Lindsay and Rob Riley, aunt and uncle, Sally Ann and Carolyn Riley, cousins, and Shannon and John Barton, great aunt and uncle. What a beautiful gift. And our hearts are with those who have lost loved ones. Marilyn DeBrie and her family are mourning the death of her mother, Elise Agnes DeBrie, who died November 25th at the age of 106. A private graveside service was held at Fairview Cemetery, and a celebration of life will be held in the spring of 2021. Our prayers are also with Andrew Reisinger and his family as they mourn the death of his father, Reverend B.F. Reisinger Jr., who passed away December 8th in Texas. Services were held on December 10th at First Baptist Church of Corsicana in Texas. And our prayers are also with Pete and Melanie Paulson as they are mourning the death of Pete's father, Paul Paulson Sr., who passed away on December the 10th. And now, as we come to this time of prayer, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. And for those who are joining us virtually, I invite you to share those in the comment section, knowing that those are public, but also that you are invited to go to our website, to the Contact Us link, where you can tell us how we can pray for you as a pastoral team. And we do that every week. And prepare us now, O loving God, for this time of prayer. May the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of restoration, of peace, and of joy. Thank you for being all those things and so many others all at once. Thank you for the joy that we can find today, especially through this beautiful music, the liturgy, the ritual, the scripture, the word, and baptism. So many of our souls are weary during a season that's supposed to revolve around merriment and cheer. Yet we acknowledge the uniqueness of this year and the ways that this confusing time has made us aware of so many inconsistencies and injustices in the world, and also highlighted the ways that so many of us have needed to just slow down. As much as it can frustrate us, we thank you for the gifts of technology that make being distant from one another just a little less lonely. We are grateful for the gift of community, though we sometimes may feel disconnected. May we find healing and connection in one another however we can. May we be people who dream of a joyous day when all lives and all creation are well-loved and honored. May our tears of frustration, grief, and exhaustion form bridges to relief, justice, and peace. Open our senses, O God, that we might see or taste or smell or touch or hear the small everyday moments when heaven meets earth. May we feel connected to these holy and heavenly moments, no matter how small, allowing them to remind us of the holiness that is in each of us. May we continue to seek joy one moment at a time, one breath at a time. And we continue this journey. Throughout generations of joy and despair, many voices have prayed together the prayer that Jesus taught. And now we join our voices alongside those as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And we now invite you to give of your tithes and your offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You can give through our website or text to give, or you can also mail in a check. We realize that many are suffering economically right now, but we encourage you to give as you are able, because we know that God multiplies all gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. May we give with joy this morning.
in joy, remembering who you are, looking for ways to be compassionate, and holding on to the promises of God's faithfulness. Amen.